Any other guesses? Okay, they will.
They're not necessarily going to try to bootstrap again. They try to
help you. They'll try to solve your problems when you just really want an ear, right? And the biggest part, and this is, I guess, with my family, they never forgive and they never forget. Never. So I have a little story for you about my aunt. Her son went to Camp Timberlane years ago. And there was a boy in his cabin who made his life miserable. Miserable. So, yeah, kids can be cruel. So 30 years later, my aunt has a store. And in comes this striking man into her store. And she looks at him, and she says, "Did you go to Camp Timberlane 30 years ago?" He said, "Yes." "Were you in my son's cabin?" "Yes." "Is your name blah blah?" "Yes." "I'd like you to leave my store now, please." Where? Okay? It's people never forget. That's an extreme. But friends are just an ear. They don't try to solve your problems. They don't judge you. They take this job very seriously. Just make sure when you have a pity party that you call the right person and that you bring lots of Kleenex because you're going to need it. All right. Next one. This is great. And this is a technique that took me a lot of time. And now I'm really, really good at this. And it's called worrying time. Who's a worrier in here? Who spends most of their day worrying? Okay, a lot of us. A lot of us. And I was too and still am. But I've learned how to cope with it, how to deal with it. And what I mean by worrying time is to take 10 minutes every day and worry about anything that's driving you crazy. For me, I go in the shower, and I worry. Sometimes I cry, sometimes I get angry, sometimes I'm scrubbing my hair, but I worry about everything I can. Sometimes I have really long showers, you know. But I find that it just, when you get out, okay, if it's something that you can't control, you can't worry about it anymore. Because there's nothing you can do about it. If it's something you can control, you take care of it right then and there. You call that friend, or you go to that store, or you call somebody and say, "Please help me out of the situation. I need help." But if it's out of your control, you can't worry about it, and you worry about it tomorrow.
But how do you go through the day?
That's great. It comes up because it's going to come up 2 minutes later, 5 minutes later. And you say to yourself, "Heather, I've worried about this now, it's already today. I'm going to worry about it tomorrow. It's valid worry, and it's very upsetting, but I can't do anything about it. So I'm going to worry about it tomorrow." Just make sure that you do worry about it tomorrow, and you keep that appointment. I can't tell you how this trick has worked for me. It's amazing. Now, this can't be done when you've just received devastating news. Okay, you can't go in the shower, worry, and not worry about it anymore. This has to be once you've received something, you've understood it, you've accepted it a little, and then you go into your worrying time. You can't worry about everything all the time. Life is too short. So, anyway, it works. Next thing. And this is also really hard, especially from people you're closest with. But don't expect things from people. And we all do. When Jeff and I were married, the rabbi took us into his study and he said, "The only way your marriage is going to survive is both of you give 90% and just take 10. And I think that's with everything, every relationship. If you expect from people, what's going to happen? You're going to be disappointed, right? If you don't expect anything, you're pretty much always surprised. I mean, if I, you know, went to work and came home and made dinner and did my job and I was thinking all day, "Oh, I hope Jeff comes home with flowers. Wouldn't that be nice?" He comes home empty-handed. I'm a little disappointed. If I go on with my day and in comes Jeff with that one rose, wow, what a great husband. Or you know what? Do what I do and just buy your own flowers. Just try. Expectations are so dangerous, and we can't stop expecting things from people. Why didn't she call me back? I'm supposed to be invited to that party. I can't believe she didn't invite me to that party. If it's really bothering you or something, call the person and just very nicely just say, ask them if someone lets you down. And 9 times out of 10, you don't expect anything, you're going to be pleasantly surprised. I mean, when Jacob was in the hospital for 3 months, Eighth Chaim school, I kept getting paychecks. I don't even think you know about this. I kept getting paychecks for 3 months. And I called the school, and I said, why am I getting paychecks? And Rabbi Jacobowitz, who was my boss at the time, said, don't you need the money, Ellen? I mean, it was just amazing. So don't expect things. You get surprised. Okay. Next point. This is important, and we don't do enough of it. And it's common knowledge. Me time and having an outlet. Everybody should take at least 10 minutes to themselves every single day. You know, and we all feel guilty. Well, the kids need me, and work needs me, and my husband needs me, and you are very important, but for 10 minutes, you can take time. Okay? I really think to myself that if I take that 10 minutes, I'm a better mother, I'm a better friend, I'm a better daughter, I'm a better teacher, I'm a better everything. So there's no guilt involved because I think I'm taking my me time for you. And it works somehow. But and it doesn't have to be an hour. It doesn't have to be a weekend. It doesn't need to be a week. It needs to be 10 minutes to just shut your door, go for a walk, lock out the world. Take care of yourself, and then you can first, and then you can take care of everyone else around you. So this kind of goes with finding an outlet. And sometimes you can take more than that 10 minutes. Have you ever tried kickboxing? It is the most incredible thing in the world. It's 45 minutes of punching and kicking as hard as you can. I can't tell you how amazing I feel after I've done this. Whatever it is, going for a walk, taking a long bubble bath, get your outlet. Get rid of those cobwebs. You know, just to relax yourself so you can think better. When Jacob was in the hospital, I used to jog down for 45 minutes for my turn, my shift. And it was such a sight because I would jog down Avenue Road. Notice I never jogged home, but I always jogged down Avenue Road. And I'd be screaming and crying, and I must have looked really silly. But it didn't matter because when I got there, I could be the mom I needed to be. I could think. I got rid of those cobwebs. So have an outlet. Okay. I know if Jeff and I get into a fight and, you know, passions are going high, you're getting angry, I just stop and I go for a walk. And then I come back and I can deal with things. I can think better. Think, yeah, I was wrong. I was really wrong. You know, for the first 10 blocks, I was right. And for the next 10 blocks, I was wrong. Maybe he did one thing wrong, but I was probably mostly wrong. Okay? So, last point for tonight. And this is probably my favorite one. And it's really helped over the years. And it's to make someone else feel special. It's amazing. When you're feeling down or low and you do something nice for someone else, you feel better because you've made someone else smile and someone else just feels great because you thought about them. So this is one thing I do is I went to dinner one Friday night to my girlfriend Lee's house and she made this unbelievable challah. It was so good. So she said, I said, teach me how to make this. So I went over and I watched her because, of course, there's not a recipe. A little bit of this, a little, and I'm looking at her. Give me a break. So I went home. I did a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and it turned out really good. So what I and she taught me, when you make it, you can only think of happy thoughts, Ellen. So these challahs are made with true love. Now somehow, I don't know why, I always make 4. I keep 1 for our family, and I always give 3 away. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if someone's in need or what. I always give 4 away. The faces on that Friday afternoon when I bring a hot challah to someone's house right out of my kitchen—the best, the best. I was asked to speak, and I told this Hala story. And there was someone sitting in the audience who had heard some very devastating news. And the girl who asked her to go didn't know if she had done the right thing. So they both left. 3 weeks later, this girl who asked the girl to go came home, and there was a big jar of tomato sauce on her front step and a note that said, "I know it's not challah, but I hope I've made your day." So all her troubles went away for 3 hours while she made that sauce. It really, really works. Doesn't have to be challah. All right. So I've given you pretty much most of my little secrets. Just try to have a pity party. Try to smile. Make a challah, you know. Do whatever you need to do. You know, with Jacob, I'm so blessed to have him. You know, in 37 years, I've had over 50 teachers. No one's taught me more about life and learning than this one little boy. I mean, he lacks vision, but look what he sees. You know, he can't talk, but look at the messages that he communicates. It's just from 1 7-year-old boy. So thanks for coming. I hope I've taught you one or two little things. And I'll answer any questions you have, or you can just talk, whatever. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thanks. Thanks. Thank you. Everyone does. Any questions? Anything? Okay, who's that terrible person?
I'm just wondering, do you find, I find sometimes that I'm, because I find prayer very strong, do you find that, like in your own words or whatever, do you find some strong connection?
I would say I've become more spiritual than religious over the years. I mean, praying, unfortunately, I never learned Hebrew, so I have to pray in my own way. But I had to find out an understanding of where was Jacob going for me to accept things. And I think I have a really nice understanding of what happens to us. And I think that's really helped me accept. And that's kind of my praying, you know, reading and studying and learning. And Dr. Weiss's book, Many Masters, Many Lives, really helped me to see things.
I'm sure at some point you were angry at God.
Oh.
How did
you get past that? Oh, my gosh. For 6 months, I hated God. I hated he was diagnosed in August. And I remember having to go to shul for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and I didn't go. No way. You think I'm going to pray? Like, you think so? No way. I was so angry. How could they do this, or whoever do this, to Jacob and us? So how could you make a little boy suffer? Like, why make him live like that? And why make us go through this? And just looking at him and learning and watching him has just made me realize, yeah, thank God I have him. And God did a really great thing by teaching me lessons. And as we know, I mean, look at the tsunami. I mean, God does incredible things. But yeah, I hated God for a long time, and now I'm getting a better understanding of why God does things. So you really learn from bad things. Anyone else? There were 16 families who did the gene therapy. There's no. But we're still working on it. Not with Jacob. I won't let him go through that again. But we support it, and hopefully they'll find a cure for something or one of the diseases.
Yeah.
There really is 6 Jewish diseases. Okay? It's predominantly Ashkenazi Jewish descent. There are people that aren't Jewish with it, but there's 6 of them. three of them are now funded by OHIP, so are free, that you can do just if you want it. You can go down to SickKids Hospital, to their lab, and ask to be tested for Canavan, Tay-Sachs, and familial dysautonomia, and it's for free. It's nothing. It's one blood sample for all three tests. Or speak to your obstetrician. Or your good doctor.
I was just going to say, how would the
average
person know that
you can ask for that? Well, one thing Jacob's Ladder does is we trying to teach all the obstetricians in Toronto that this is available and general people. So they should be, if you're Ashkenazi descent, they should be sending you for the test. Who's your doctor? Or you'll tell me after. But that's funny. That's funny. That's now they would, right. No, it's their third baby. Well, as long as one of you is tested. I mean, if you're a carrier, then of course both of you have to be.
But
I'm sorry. If one is a carrier, then you have to test the other. If one's not a carrier, then there's no reason. No, you both have to be carriers. Yeah. Well, yeah, they can, thank God they can. But when I'm 4 months pregnant, I can have a CVS where they actually take a piece of the placenta and they can tell if the baby's affected or not. Yes. It is, but they've been skipping years. Sometimes they're, yeah. Right. They do it in grade 12, right? Grade. But they've been skipping a few years. I don't know if it's funding or what. No. All, they're not going to all the school. Most of them. I don't. It's usually grade 12 they do it, right? But yes, Canavan is part of that. Yeah.
Takes
so much out of you. Well, you know, the expression, if you want something done, ask a busy person,
yeah.
Right? So you just do it. Like, there's no, I only teach 4 hours a day. Like, I only teach afternoons. I'm with my children in the morning. Mm-hmm. And when if Jacob gets really sick, everything stops. Life stops. That's it. Like, everything. And that's how I just go day by day. You try, and some days it's midnight and I still haven't, brushed my hair, and because everything else is more important. Today I did okay, My husband got up with the kids last night. My turn. Okay, thanks everybody. Okay, thank you. Thanks.